Good to be with you at your chapel. As has been said, Mark Wilkinson's my name. I work at the BUV Church Health Team. Been doing that for about 8 years now. Coming into my 9th year. But as Nathan said, I'm not here with that hat on at all. I'm really here because Nathan and I sat next to each other at the last BUV members' dinner, and we've certainly built a degree of relationship over the years. Yes, occasionally with a little bit of crisis, but at other times I've particularly appreciated Nathan's training in the marriage celebrant training. That's been really good, and so we've built a degree of relationship. And so we invited me to come here. As I said, yes, so here I am. I like coming to see the variety of God's people. I've been had something to do with somewhere around about 70, 75 churches in our BUV, and they're all different. They're all unique. Maybe you guys are slightly more unique than others, but they are all different, and I love the variety in that. Anyway, two quick things about that with my BUV hat on, and then we'll look at the scriptures. The BUV, we actually want every church, every congregation to flourish. And that's the same for you. We want to see you flourish in all the sense of what that means for you as a community who love Jesus, who have their own distinctive way of following Jesus. I think that's awesome. And so we want you to flourish, as I say. That's a macro statement that we want for all of our congregations. The second thing I want you to know is that I think BUV is better with you in it. I said that very thing to Nathan after one of those tricky BUV meetings that we have from time to time a few years ago. And despite the readings that we're going to have a look at today, there'll always be stresses and strains in human organizations, for we're imperfect human beings. But I said to Nathan that night, and I say it to you as a congregation, the BUV is better with you in it. And I want you to, I mean that very intentionally and deliberately, and I say that to you. It's actually a pretty good segue on into the passages Nathan's already alluded to, from 1 Corinthians 1, 10 to 11, where there's quite a lot of human division in the congregation. In verse 10, Paul opens with the aspirational statement. I'm going to read some of this from the New RSV. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement, and there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. I call that an aspirational statement because it's both true and humanly impossible at the same time. You should be in agreement, and there should be no divisions among you. You should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. Right? They are very large things, aren't they? It's true to say there should be no divisions among us, and we should be of the same mind and same purpose. Jesus prayed similar things in what we call his high priestly prayer, and as recorded in John 17. He prayed that we would be one as the Godhead is one. And and he prayed for us that we would be brought to complete unity. Complete unity. That's quite a prayer for Jesus to pray, and yet he did it nonetheless. And Jesus' intention that his followers would be in unity. And this was what Paul was instructing the Corinthian church. And as we saw in the reading, the cause of the division in the Corinthian church was a subtle one. It was about dividing in camps around teachers and leaders. I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. If you're not familiar with Apollos, we read in the book of Acts, was an influential teacher who came to Corinth. I belong to Cephas, or we know it better, and it is the translation that was read for us as Peter. And then the super spiritual people, of course, then played their trump card and says, well, I just belong to Jesus. You know, there's a far more spiritual version of that. By the way, I hear that in churches too. The people say, I don't follow the thing. I just follow Jesus. But I have a particular interest in what they mean when they say that, and how that follows out. It's the same, by the way, as saying, well, I follow Nathan Nettleton, or I follow Mark Wilkinson, or, you know, whoever you prefer is, you know, maybe I understand the Bible better. Who knows? You know, and it's also reality why we have so many denominations and movements. I follow Martin Luther. I follow John Calvin. I follow Thomas Helwes, who's, again, if you don't know him, he's our Baptist forebear, the one we look back to. Or I follow the Pope. Or again, we could go on. John Wesley, all these different influential people that create and denominations get created, not necessarily by them, but after them. And so, reality is we live in a time of great division in our global church. But it's bigger than that, isn't it? The reality is bigger than that in our nation, and indeed in our world. We have great division. The previous phrase I used, when I used the Trump card, I noticed that was actually on the reading also, and that phrase should probably come with a trigger warning these days, shouldn't we, due to the American president. I'm not sure we should say the Trump card anymore. You know, tomorrow we have a public holiday in Australia for our National Day, and in one sense that brings further division and around what our National Day should be and when should it be and all that sort of stuff. And so the question in some ways, I think, a pertinent question that this in some ways causes us to ask ourselves is how do we be peacemakers? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. How do we be peacemakers rather than divider upperers? Let's consider the broad brush of our other readings. It's quite common themes. In fact, the other three readings together have a common theme. The psalmist points to the Lord as the light and salvation. That was the repeated chorus that was sung for us today in the psalm reading. Isaiah prophesies that those who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. And he goes on and looks forward to a child who'll become the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We know the Matthew passage started off by quoting the Isaiah passage and the call to the first disciples to leave their old life and leave their old jobs even and to follow Jesus into a new life calling. Jesus himself said, John's gospel records for us, I am the light of the world. Whoever, again, not just the light for the Jewish nation, but I'm the light for the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Again, our first song, that was the theme, Christ be our light. How do we actually make that a reality? How do we actually allow Christ to be our light? How do we ruthlessly seek to follow Christ in a world where people will think differently to you as to how they follow Jesus, even where people worship differently? This, by the way, is my third church service for the day. It's very rare I go to three church services. That happened back in COVID times. I remember going to four different online services, but today this is my third service. I went to one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and now this one late afternoon. And all three congregations have worshipped very differently, and yet we're still part of the same family. They're still our brothers and sisters. How do we ruthlessly see that people who think differently, to Christians who think differently to us, are still our brothers and sisters in Christ? How do we go about trying to treat them as our brothers and sisters in Christ, even when we think differently to them about how we should go about church life, how we should do church life, and how they're best operating, etc.? And so how do we go into that space? And that's even just in the church space. What about if we go further and broader into our world? When we go to the broader human family, I actually like to go all the way back to Genesis 1 and see every human made in the image of God in the Genesis 1:27 account of that. How does that impact me and how I seek to operate? It actually does impact me. At times, I will practice this by wandering around a shopping center and seeing every person I see, and I'll just say to myself, made in the image of God, 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 and try to find the highest amount of diversity. That's not very hard for me. I live in the western suburbs of Melbourne. We have a lot of variety, a lot of cultural diversity. We're very multicultural. I could, when I wander around the shopping centre I did yesterday, I'll see plenty of Islamic people, plenty of Sikh people, plenty of Islander people, etc., etc. These are my neighbours, and quite literally my neighbour on what. The side behind me is a Filipino, the one over the road's Ethiopian, etc. These are my brothers and sisters. These are my neighbors. From 2017 to 2024, alongside my work with the BUV, that wasn't full-time in those days, I worked as a school chaplain in two different government primary schools in my local area. And I remember when they were interviewing me, one of the things they do in those things is they're checking you out to make sure, basically they're checking me out to see if I was a evangelical nutter who would talk to students about heaven and hell or something along those lines, which we're not allowed to do. And we, of course, I wouldn't do anyway, but they're checking me out. And so the way I said to them, and they asked me a specific question that was around that. And I told them, my faith works like this. I see every student made in the image of God. And so if someone is made in the image of God, they're automatically valuable. Automatically valuable. Again, that works for me when I walk around the shopping center. Everyone is valuable. But it also works, I told them, when I go to school. And like I said, my local community. So therefore, I said to them in my interview, I see every Muslim student as made in the image of God. I see every Hindu student as made in the image of God. Every secular student is made in the image of God. Every transgender student, and we had a couple, are made in the image of God. And so that concept was acceptable. They let me in as the school chaplain. And so, but to, again, ruthlessly see ourselves, ruthlessly see other people as made in the image of God. Thursday night, I was scrolling through the TV channels. I think I was looking for some more tennis games. I think I was just scrolling my way through the options to watch some more sport. I'm a bit of a sports nut. But anyway, I was scrolling through that, and I stumbled on the memorial service that was happened up in Sydney for the Bondi Massacre. And I didn't watch very long, but I watched for a little while. And interestingly, they used the passage that we used from Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And so that caught my attention, knowing that was one of our verses. And I started to think about what happened there in the Bondi shootings. And the way that it worked is the Islamic radicals dehumanized the Jewish people and so shot at them, killing them. And I know in response that some Anglos have then been, their response was to dehumanize the Muslim people as a whole group. But I can't do that. They're my friends. They're my people. They're my neighbors. My wife works at a local medical center, and Muffy is the podiatrist there, and Muffy is my podiatrist. And I've needed a bit of help, and so Muffy looks after my feet for me. My wife went to his wedding last year. Fatima is my pharmacist. She was a huge help to me, incredibly caring to me. When I was trying to get some help around 12 months ago, I diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And so she was helping me with some of the treatments of that. Beautiful lady. So caring. So lovely. How can I even consider not seeing anybody as my human? Muhammad is my daughter's boss at my favorite coffee shop. I've known Muhammad, and he's been making me coffees for 10 years now. In fact, I had drank so many coffees there, I got my daughter a job there. And so she's been there for about nearly 5 years. We resist division when we humanize those we disagree with. Let me say that again. We resist division when we humanize those we disagree with. That could be theological disagreement in the church. That could be when we see them as brothers and sisters. Or it can be broader across the world. We humanize people when we see them as fellow humans who are made in the image of God. And whoever is the other in our world, whoever other people try to make as the other, we have to ruthlessly see, we have to understand, we have to go through the process to see, made in the image of God, made in the image of God. Maybe tomorrow when you walk around a shopping center, park, whatever, however you're going to spend your day tomorrow, maybe try it. Try it for yourself. Go and walk around and just say to yourself, you don't have to say it out loud, I really will think you're not if you say it out loud, but just say to yourself, made in the image of God. Made in the image of God. For the brothers and sisters, for the people who do things differently to you, who think differently to you. Made in the image of God. Made in the image of God. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement, and there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and same purpose. Amen.